Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Multnomah County Board of Commissioners' 22nd Budget Work Session. Audience members, I want to start by asking you to please silence your electronic devices. For those presenting today, please turn your mic on when you begin speaking and off when you've completed your remarks. And for all presenters, please state your name for the record before speaking or responding to questions. So today is another work session around deliberation, amendments, budget follow-up, budget notes. Again, I want to appreciate the work staff is doing to keep us organized during these meetings. We have, so one of the things that we talked about at the end of our day yesterday was working to make sure that all the amendments for updates were on, the revenue sources were on, so I wanted to spend a little time talking through those, and then we can have a conversation around the budget notes. We haven't had a chance to touch on those yet. And then if we, and then hopefully by the end of this morning, we would be able to start having a conversation around prioritization. And that is what, we have another session this afternoon, and that is what we're looking at this afternoon as well for prioritization. So with that, just want to open it up to folks for, I don't remember exactly which amendments were still needing a revenue source or that, so I just want to open it up to folks to see what work has been done and updates for the board so we can understand how some of the things are being paid for. Okay, Commissioner Moyer?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine is a change of, or clarification and change of revenue source. It is from Amendment 20, revising it, and it has to do with the 2.5 FTE for senior budget analysts, and I would pay for it by either the reduction of 3 vacant HR positions or an equivalent cut in HR spending countywide. And then I clarify the program offer and what these budget positions would be doing and the outputs that we would be hoping from these positions. So I will pass that around.
I'll jump in here on Amendment 38, the safety improvements at Vance Park and District 4. After a hearing from the chair yesterday, I learned that we do have $125,000 in the chair's budget for Vance Park, and our office will work with Gresham on the highest priority improvements at the park for safety and security. So for now, for that, we're going to pull that amendment off of this.
I'm sorry.
We're pulling Amendment 38. Due to their improvements, yeah.
In the 125.
Mm-hmm. And then jump in again for program offer number 7200, the Office of the COO, the Continuous Improvement Managers. We are looking to use the revenue offsets from the DCJ vacant research and planning position for that amendment. Did you catch that?
I'm sorry.
For the continuous improvement manager position, we want to use the offset revenue from the DCJ vacant research and planning position that was proposed by the COO.
Do you know what that amendment number was?
That was number 22.
Thank you. And that's not one that's been used already?
Correct.
Perfect.
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, that is already updated in our packet. Look at our amazing budget office. It's already updated, right? Because you said it was the DCJ vacant research and funding position. Oh my gosh, yes. Christian's like, please help me help you.
Good morning, everyone. Chris Nelkin, County Budget Director. I use she, her pronouns. So let's just start on the first page, and I'll just give you a little update for the proposed COO offsets, which are in a lilac color. We have updated this based on all of the amendment updates that we received last night from the different offices. So what is left on this table are things that have not been allocated in an amendment below. So so this is kind of the residual of those decisions that you all made yesterday. I also do want to highlight that while the city of Portland support for $10 million is on this list, it's not in the math because it really distorts the math when you look at that. If that's not an offset that we're going to be proposing, it looks like we have $10 million available that it's not been discussed at this table to use that $10 million as of now. So if we can go to the next page, which is page 2. So we have the revised amendment number 1 for school-based mental health. That includes the offsetting Medicaid revenue of $450,000, and then the new offsets, including the sobering FTE and the contracts for the sobering expansion, the DCHS M&S offset of $30,000, the health department grant. We were doing some really fine math here, taking $1,400 from there, and then adding the Medicaid revenue. The next one after that, sorry, these were really burned into my brain last night, we have the update for amendment number 10, which is Commissioner Moyer's amendment, and that is taking the offset of the complaints investigation unit and assigning it to amendment number 10, and then also adding the ADA gender neutral restroom within that package of the amendment. That also meant that we took amendment number 14 and withdrew that amendment per instructions from the commissioner. If we can go to page 3. So the next one that we changed the offset on is amendment number 17. Basically, this was using the finance and budget finance specialist position from the health department as the offset, and then that also flows down to amendment number 31, but swapping out that position instead of the behavioral health admin position that was used before for that offset.
Just one of the things that I believe is also co-sponsored by Commissioner Moyer. Doesn't look like it's...
Sorry, apologies. We'll add that. Yep. Okay, we'll get that updated. We will make sure that that is on there, Commissioner. Commissioner Moyer just changed the offset for amendment number 20, so we will update that. Commissioner Jones, Dixon, and Commissioner Moyer, amendment number 21, the OSU Extension sponsorship, has been reduced to $40,000, and then the offset for that comes from the DCM COO's M&S offset.
What number is that?
That's number 21. Number 22, you just talked about, Commissioner, which is restore one continuous improvement manager, and then the offset is the vacant research and planning FTE and DCJ, and then the total DCM COO M&S was $75,000, so we've just been applying it in chunks. That's why you still see a balance on the first sheet in that that line. For Commissioner Brim Edwards and Commissioner Jones Dixon's amendments number 25 and 26, we changed the offsets for 25 to be 100% from the vacancy hiring delay. And then the offset for amendment number 26 is partially from the vacancy hiring delay, and then the rest comes from revenue amendment number 4.
Yeah, and just to flag that I'm going to have a conversation with Commissioner Jones Dixon about the revenue, that 100,000 later on.
We'll be standing by.
We're going to have a conversation about that.
Amendment number 29, I think this is still a true statement, Commissioner Brim Edwards and Commissioner Singleton, but I believe we don't have an offset for that one, and that's in the works.
Which one was that?
That's the lobbying transparency amendment number 29. But if there's late breaking information, happy to accept it.
So maybe we need to have a conversation just about what that is, because I think this isn't something we're implementing this next.
This was the one I was talking about yesterday, that there's two component pieces. One is the IT component piece of the carryover, and then there's the additional expenses related to the IT program, and then an LDA to actually implement the program.
Lunchtime conversation.
Do we need that for a full year, though?
I mean, that's what my question is.
I don't know if Hayden's around or someone from the CEO's office who might want to. I thought he was just going to walk in magically. but so if not, we can have these conversations after.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you. The next amendment was amendment number 30. The amount for the culturally specific meals has been reduced to $125,000 based on the conversations and the need. And the offset is revenue amendment number 4. Amendment number 31, which is the restoration of 3 deputy DAs. The offsets there, again, changed related to which vacant position was being assigned there, and that's the balance of the finance specialist position. And then the grant offset from the health department is just the balance from that $1,400 being in the amendment above. There's no change in amendment number 32, and I'm sorry, on the PDF, these headers printed out on the right pages. There are no changes to 33 and 34 at this time. We updated the management COLA in the amount in amendment number 35 to reflect making that distinction between employees earning under and above $100,000. Amendment number 37, and Commissioner, please correct me if I'm wrong on this one, the amount has changed to $74,000. I believe that, but I wanted to triple check with you all on that one. And then the offset is using revenue amendment number 3. Number 38 was just withdrawn. Number 39, yesterday the amount was changed to include the Continuum project manager. Our coordinator, right, yes. Care coordinator. So that amount went to $335,000, and the offset is revenue amendment number 3. 40 did not change. 41 did not change. 41 still is kind of a TBD on the offset there. 42, we don't have an amount in there because it's being used to offset amendments number 25 and 26. Amendment number 43, we're working on that analysis, as you heard from Eric yesterday. And then amendment number 44 was the newest amendment for the youth violence study, and that is offset with a revenue amendment number 3. And then finally at the bottom, you'll see the withdrawn amendments. We want to keep them on the table so that you know which ones have been withdrawn and that we did it accurately.
You're very impressive, Christian. Like, thank you for helping organize.
So just a quick question. So then that marries with this?
That is the hope that that I got it all correct last night. If it does not, please flag it for me and we will get it updated immediately.
Just on page 3, Commissioner Moyer should be a co-sponsor on that. Just
right. We will make that edit.
Can we just take a look at it just really quick to, in which, okay. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious, and again, this is just reconciling, not any sort of commentary, but you have on the sheet that the Amendment 14 has been withdrawn, except it's not crossed out in here. Is that, is one of them inaccurate?
Number one's been replaced, and so I felt like it would be weird to line it out and then put the new language, but I'm happy to restore that if we need to. So I was just kind of treating that as a revised amendment, and I can put revised in the title if that's, that might be more helpful.
With Commissioner.
Or replaced, yeah.
Yeah, replace or with substitute.
And I do need to add your name to that one, Commissioner Moyer.
And so I'm just again, this
what
is
was
not,
the
this
other
not
one?
A commentary. Sorry. It's like, which one is accurate? On one sheet, you have 14 withdrawn, but in the packet, it's still active. Is it withdrawn or is it still active?
Remember. Number 14 is withdrawn. I just missed that one.
Okay. And then 17 needs Moyer on it.
Oh, because the gender neutral bathrooms got added to 10. Great. Okay. I was like, because I like that.
I was very close, but not 100%.
Then 21 is now
$40,000. Correct. Mm-hmm. I got it right in the text, just not the title.
So that was 21. Commissioner Brim Edwards, it's a little hard for folks to hear, if you wouldn't mind. I know we've got a lot of papers, but I wouldn't mind bringing your mic close when you hear. And that was around Amendment 21, the just correcting the dollar amount is right in the description of the amendment. It was just what hadn't been replaced in the title.
Correct.
And so, Christian, based on your best knowledge, there is no more conflicts with revenue sources for the amendments at this point?
I handed you all a cheat sheet, which I left over there.
That nobody's double dipping or triple dipping for the revenue.
Oh,
we still are.
True. Yeah. So I gave you all a little cheat sheet based as of this morning that shows that amendments number 27, 28, and 33 are using the same offsets of.
It's this little.
It's right there.
Okay. Oh, okay.
So those ones are using revenues from 2A and 2B, amendments number 37, 39, and 44. Again, assuming we got this all correct last night, are using the offset of revenue amendment number 3, and 26 and 30 are using the offset of revenue amendment number 4.
Can we just take a moment so we can
look? Yeah, well, everybody can take a look through this. Thank you so much, Christian.
And I didn't math this yet, so it could be that there's small balances that could be used for other amendments. I just want to acknowledge that. We're going to bring you down an updated sheet of this because there's a couple that are missing. Amendment number one is missing from it, and amendment number 34 is not included, and it uses it all. Yeah.
So just to clarify, so
yeah, this is an accurate.
These are the remaining where there's double dipping in this. So on amendment for the revenue amendment 4, which is the local 88, it looks like I have two that you, Commissioner Jones Dixon and I have two that use the same offset. Is that right? Because that I'm reading 26, which is the retail and auto theft task force, and also the culturally specific meeting meals.
But doesn't the math there?
So that was the part I didn't get to last night, okay, is that okay. We need to go through. I wanted to just identify where the offsets are, but if they total up and use it and it balances out, we need to acknowledge that. And then in the places where it doesn't.
But just to clarify, this we have our, just this is this table, we're using the same.
This, there's something off here because I've used every dollar of every revenue amendment.
Amendment number 34 is not on here.
Okay.
So I just want to acknowledge that. So they're going to bring down a new one, and behind the scenes, we'll have the staff start mathing. So amendment number one has been used multiple times. To your acknowledgement, amendment number one, as shown on this sheet, would have balanced, but it's being used in amendment number 34 as well.
Oh.
And I appreciate that disclosure, Commissioner.
So this is as of last night.
Well, this was my staff doing this at 8:15 this morning as I was driving into work. So there's just some errors on this sheet. This sheet is correct. This cheat sheet is not correct.
Okay. And that's fine. Yeah, I mean, I think that this is where we are is helpful. I think we could just take a couple minutes to add like where additional conflicts might be, because so 34 is also using
1, 2, 8, 3, and 4, choosing all of them.
Okay.
So is there, are you laying down a new amendment? No. The existing 30?
No, it's not being whittled down. It's changing some of the other offsets, so it'll still use all these revenue amendments.
So that one amendment used the entirety of all the revenue?
Nope, not the entirety of all of them. I used the entirety of all of them, but with multiple amendments.
So we can have during break and right now staff to go through this and really just do the math on what those are. If we think the landscape's not changing, but if anything's going to change, we should possibly propose that now. And then we can do the math over break and get kind of you all closer to what you're thinking around some of these, because I know y'all spent some time thinking about this last night.
So thank you so much. Why don't we give you and your team time to do some of that work? We can move on to the conversation around budget notes, unless anyone else wants to talk about amendments or any updates or things they want to share. Okay.
Christian, it's okay. Megan. Hi.
We're whispering over there.
Jenna, okay. I hate to ask this. I am still trying to get the COLA thing to happen. Can I get how much savings there would be for workers who, after their 3% merit managers, after their 3% merit increase, would be making over $125,000.
You want to up it to 125?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. So that number will go up slightly.
Yep.
Thank you.
Hi, Travis.
Travis Brown, CHRO, just here for any additional questions on COLA. Okay.
Okay. Thank you for making yourself available. Yeah. Good morning. There are donuts in the back. All right. So everyone should have a packet of the budget notes. And we've all seen these because these have been popping up over the last several weeks. So I think this is a chance for folks, you know, folks have done a good job of introducing them as they've been explained or as they've been introduced. I know that there have been some updates and changes. Just want to, first of all, if anyone has any updates to budget notes, any new budget notes? Okay. So then I want to open it up for folks to just, we're not going to go through these one by one unless folks want to do that. I was just figured, like, as people have been reading through them, if you have questions about specific ones, to ask about them now so that we can kind of have the conversations about that. Or if there's any additional explanation anybody want to give on their budget notes, feel free to do that as well. And we can take a couple minutes to look through those if folks need it. I think one question that I have just in general for folks is, have the budget, have people been, I know a lot of people have been working with the departments on budget amendments. So if there are any outstanding questions for departments around on the budget amendments, and then curious if these have all gone through legal review by Jenny Madcore and her team, because they, we, because that, sorry, were you talking about the budget notes or amendments? Okay, yes, and so that's kind of my general question is, like, as we're thinking about moving these forward, have they gone through the, have they gone through a conversation with the department that's focused on in it, and have they gone through a legal review?
Yes, I have one more that is sitting in Jenny's inbox for legal review when she's got time.
Is that the one regarding data? Is that regarding data? Yeah, that has been reviewed.
Oh. Is that number 16 and 17?
It will just be number 16. I'm withdrawing number 17.
Okay.
Number 16, was that the long run that you had shared yesterday? Okay.
Just, this is a note, I'm going to be co-sponsoring the budget note 11 with Commissioner Jones Dixon on youth violence. Looking through here, I think we're going to have some great topics for discussion next year.
Okay, is it safe to assume that everything else has gone through legal review then? Yeah?
Yeah.
You did? Yeah. Yes, is that's it. Okay.
So one question I have, or a conversation I'd like to have, Commissioner Moyer, is on your budget note number 6 in span of control. I'm curious if this can be more of a, not necessarily submitting a plan of 1 to 7 or higher, but just even giving us the assessment of what it is so that we can have more conversation about it. I'm just not, I don't feel confident right now today to say I know that every situation requires a 1 to 7 or higher ratio. I just have questions about some of the specific managers, and so I would want to be able to talk that through.
So it is a cumulative management to staff ratio, which means it is the average, not any individual program. So there may be a program that's, you know, 4 to 1. And then somewhere else, it's 11 to 1. And again, it's a plan with an exceptions process.
I'm more interested in having that conversation, though, about the 4-to-1 and 11-to-1 or whatever the ratios are to understand why they are what they are, and then we could give more direction as opposed to that 1-to-7.
Okay, so you would want them just to do a report to us, but not a plan, and then we can decide after our report how we would like to. I'm open to that.
I think if we want to have a report out on span of control of the county, I'm fine with that. I think that the decision about what that level should be or what it should look like really is under the authority of Chris as the COO to really work with his team and with the department directors to figure out what the right span of control is. My understanding is we are not significantly out of the range of what's normally expected for span of control at the county. So if the board's interested in hearing a report on that, then we can report out on that to the board. But I think the decisions about like what's going to be required for the county, that's something that Chris needs to decide.
And I'm going to push back, and I'm going to say that the state of Oregon has a legislative mandated 11-to-1 ratio that over the objections of the governor, and it has, of which, but to be clear, I am not proposing that. This is simply around planning to get to an average 7-to-1, which I'm open to discussing, but I think it is entirely within the role of the legislative branch to dictate things like ratios, overall policy, certainly not who those people are or how they run their day-to-day, but I think this is a policy discussion, not an individual employee, how we're going to do things. So I disagree. And there's precedent.
I mean, I hear what you're saying. I think that that there's a difference between the state authority and the county authority and what the authority is given to the different branches of the government. And, you know, and again, I think that this is giving Chris a chance to like really take a look at what's happening in the departments and figure out how things need to be set up so that we have the most effective organization possible.
I get that. I don't agree with you. I don't believe that we don't have that authority. I think that would go as far as to say we don't have position authority, which we clearly do in this budget. We approve or do not approve FTE at positions. This is an extension of that. Again, I'm actually not proposing mandating a ratio yet. Also, there's an entire exceptions process for Chris. But the idea that we don't have that authority when we are doing in this line-by-line FTE, this is an extension of that. So I pretty strongly disagree.
Well, I think if folks want to hear from Chris or they want to hear from about this, I know that he's available. Or Jenny Madcore as our lawyer. Okay. All right. Questions on other budget notes?
I have a budget note, which I flagged yesterday. This tied to, and it's with Commissioner Moyer. It's tied to, initially said it was going to be integrated into the changes, the other amendment she had about changes to the bathrooms on this floor. This is relating to making Multnomah County, this building, a more accessible and welcoming environment. You walk in the front door, if you think about, if we're trying to say, like, it's our headquarters, our main building, there's not a lot of information about what's in this building, or county services, or what we do. So it is looking at how we reconfigure the first floor in the lobby to have it be the entry into Multnomah County, at least our services and our administrative headquarters.
Can I add a friendly amendment to this?
Sure. Well, it depends.
Could you ask them to also put together a cost estimate?
Sure.
Okay.
That's friendly.
See, it was
friendly. Yeah, this doesn't contemplate, like, the work, but so do you have a, we should just be very specific right now. Do you want to just add it at the end? In addition, the COO's office will provide a cost estimate.
I think should consider reconfiguration that includes as well as an onion heart. And I think at the end, yeah, just and provide a cost estimate for
okay
the plan submitted. I think ultimately, if this is something we want to move forward with, it would be good to know.
I did on the budget notes. I had this is a question for Commissioner Moyer, just so I understand. This is budget note number 7. And it is, so I love the focus on the ADA ramps because it's been decades since we passed ADA. It's the number 1 says line item breakdowns on the budget impacts of raising fees by the amounts listed below. Which are you talking about then listed below is number 2?
No, I actually had a list. It's the construction-related fees for the right-of-way. So it's number of manholes, it's a whole list. I did find out that it's like $11,000, so it may not be a wildly efficient or effective way to fund ADA ramps. I might withdraw this one because apparently there's no money there.
So maybe this will be a lunchtime conversation, but maybe there's some things. I'm assuming the county has an ADA transition plan.
Yeah, Margie can.
I'm assuming we have an ADA transition plan. So maybe Commissioner Moore, we could talk about some way that we marry the transition plan with the funding plan, like a longer term funding plan. Versus like the ad hoc, because my experience on the board so far has been like, this gets shoved in at the last minute if there's extra one-time money, and which isn't a good way to do it. So if you're open to having a discussion at lunchtime.
Yeah, I'm open to that conversation. So hi, for the record, my name is Margie Bradway. I'm DCS director. We sent Commissioner Moyer, appreciate her support wanting to see sustainable funding for ADA ramps. We sent her all the latest data that we have on ADA, and we do have identified all the needs, which are still great. And we are working through those needs both with one time, but keep in mind, we also are meeting that need through capital projects and or when development review comes along. Commissioner Moyer and her amendment had the idea of what if we raise what we call our development fees for transportation by 10%.
there's not much activity in those fees. They're not used a lot, so they would only raise $11,000 a year. But what we did promise is that we were actually planning anyway to do a fee study on transportation for those fees for the next fiscal year. So we'll do that fee study, but I'm not sure if tying those fees to ADA ramps is the best, highest use for that fund. I don't think it's going to get that longer plan that you're talking about, Commissioner Brim Edwards.
Do we have a transition plan, ADA transition plan?
We don't call it a transition plan. We have like an, we if you remember in our capital planning budget, we do it, we call it larger needs assessment. So we call it our ADA needs assessment, but it's essentially the same thing. We're not under a court of law to have an ADA plan, but it is a legal risk. So we tend to it.
Public entities had to have a transition plan that
ours
that
is,
shows how you're eventually going to.
Yes, we do. We do.
We it's have one of those.
Yes, we do. We have. We're not. So what we have is approved by FHWA, but it's basically an ADA plan. Some people call it a transition plan. Some people call it a needs assessment. We are committed to working on that plan in those three ways. And I'm happy to share the same email that I shared with Commissioner Moyer kind of explaining. But the county's contribution to that is important to make progress.
And so, because I'd love to see that, and I'd love to have a conversation, because the also one of the other budget notes is a capital plan, and the way to, as I found at the school district, the way to get some of these things done is like build it into the capital plan. So if we're doing some sort of bonding or other sort of capital financing to have an increment, I say versus sort of scraping like what's, you know, left at the end of the day. We can talk about it maybe at lunchtime.
Okay, happy to talk at lunch. Happy to answer any questions about our CIP.
But I would rather not have this withdrawn, but maybe something that we can.
I would, and I would include, if we're talking about bonding or anything like that, let's make sure Eric is involved in that conversation.
I'm looking for Eric.
There we go.
Already okay.
Eric, can I talk a lot about transportation funds?
Okay, it's a budget note, and I'm thinking it's written in a broad enough way that
the capital plan one?
Yeah, that it would include it.
Yeah, and we have a CIP for transportation, and we certainly work with our colleagues and DCA to coordinate on that, but we have our own state kind of CIP process, so we're happy to follow the budget note and update it as needed.
And I will just say on this, I mean, it's because we have the board policy of dedicating 50% of our one-time only dollars to capital projects that we have been able to consistently fund ADA ramps every year for the last, for the entire time that I've been here. Well, maybe not. I think we maybe didn't start in
3 years.
Yeah, 3 years. I mean, yeah, so every time I've been able to. But and that is, and I know you, like, I know you were probably just speaking lightly when you said it's like the last, you know, one of the last things. But that's not the case. We actually like set aside the dollars for the ADA ramps like early on in putting together my budget to make sure they're set aside.
I will say our risk is very real, knowing that both the city of Portland and the state of Oregon also were chipping away at their ADA at a glacial pace, and they are under a court-filed, what do you call it when you agree, stipulated settlement? I can't remember the exact right words, but It is overseen by the courts. It was a negotiated settlement. I just don't want us to think because we put a little money every year that that's like gonna protect us, because I think we should be aware that that may not be legally sufficient. I'm not saying it is or isn't, but I just think we need to not think that, okay, we do a little every time, we're not gonna be sued, because we are certainly at risk because we are not in compliance.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you, Margie.
Thank you.
And know what? No, and we, I mean, no, and that absolutely is a consideration and a conversation with our legal folks, Commissioner Brammer, for that. All right, Commissioner Singleton.
So this is the actual, finally, I've been talking about it for a day now. This is the consistency in data for homelessness work and was informed by Homeless Services Department. Thank you, Anna, for the quick turnaround. And also has just been reviewed by Jenny for legal review. So essentially, it's just getting, again, basic HMIS elements needed and making sure that all of our services that are serving people experiencing homelessness are entering information to support our by name list. And getting some alignment in outcomes and what types of data we're tracking for retention, positive exits from shelter programs, positive exits from outreach, and then consistency in day center data.
Can I ask a question about day center data?
Absolutely.
And it might actually... We might need help. What do we collect now, and what would we define as an outcome we're seeking?
Can we have someone from HSD? Yeah. Come on down.
I think I would say this is to me a start, and more to come in our conversations, because I think there's a there that we haven't quite captured yet, but we don't even have this level of consistency.
Good morning.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Anna Plum. I'm the Deputy Director for the Homeless Services Department. So we're actually in the process of standardizing our day center data collection and encouraging folks to get into HMIS. It's a relatively new effort to get folks into HMIS, but the primary outcome that we would look at is number of folks served and then what services they're accessing at that day service.
Right. Any other questions on this budget note?
Just a quick question. Do we have the capacity to get all this data? Our systems do?
And this is for the internal programs. So I'll say part of what prompted this was conversation about BHRC, for example, where the day center, while being low barrier, could be collecting some data. I've run low barrier day centers. I know it can be a challenge, but trying to get us there. So this is where that came from. We do have the ability to do it. And this is something I think Anna was sharing the department has been working on. And so this is just a little kind of way for us to get there closer, but I think inform our other conversations. The other thing is, in the budget conversations, what I learned about who does and doesn't track retention rates post-subsidy was really a big driver for this, and wanting us to be sure that we're getting to a place where, again, as a board, we can be assessing like programs by looking at like outcomes, and right now we can't do that.
I really appreciate this, because I feel like oftentimes our discussion isn't informed by data or complete data. So I think this will be a really important foundational piece for next year.
So Commissioner Moyer, I know I was just looking at all yours. You're using the language of directing offices to do things, which is not our normal, like the normal way we do that, just based on the separation between the board and the administrative feature. So I just wanted to make a note of that.
Yeah, I got that feedback.
Okay. Well, I'm not comfortable supporting them as they're written like that, because I think, again, it's looking at what's in the COO's role and my role versus the office, and they're not in alignment with the way that the other ones are written.
I'm looking at 8 and 9. It's in line with that.
No, 8 requests the chair to direct the Department of Community Services. Yeah.
8 says Multnomah. The budget request.
I think it's a request the chair piece.
Yeah, I don't understand this. Again, we are the legislative branch.
Right.
I'm not saying which staff would be assigned to do this. I'm not saying what percentage of somebody's time would do this. But this is legislation. I specifically have asked numerous times, what is the process for legislating at Multnomah County? And this is what I was told. So I don't understand. Do we not have legislative authority? Is that not our role?
So I'm going to ask Jenny Madcourt, because this board can pass ordinances, resolutions, proclamations, right? We can set policy. The direction of staff is the administrative function. So I'm just
why would we ask you? Are we to direct you? Like, I don't understand.
Good morning, Jenny Madcourt, County Attorney. So lots of questions here, and I'm happy to walk through any specific questions, but I would just roll us back first to the charter. The charter is our guiding document. It's like our constitution, right? It's adopted by the voters. And in our structure of government, which is distinguished from the city, it's distinguished from other governmental entities, the chair of the Board of County Commissioners is the chief executive officer. She presides, or the chair presides over meetings. And subsection 3 of section 6.10 of our county charter says that the chair shall have sole authority to appoint, order, and direct administrative officers and employees of the county, except for the staff of elected offices. So I won't read the whole thing. But so it's sole authority to appoint and direct. And so in every instance, as I'm offering amendments in my legal review of both budget notes and budget amendments, you'll see that I've put in language, and I've used different language so that it doesn't sound too robotic, but the board encourages, the board supports, the board asks that the chair direct, you know, different language. I think for the most part, those suggested language changes were adopted or approved by the board members who put them forward, but not all of them are in there. And I understand the philosophical difference, but it is my legal opinion that under the Charter of Multnomah County, it is the chair who appoints and directs county officials. Now, that leads to the next question.
Okay, but I would not say, and I'm happy to wordsmith this, but I don't think the intent of that language is to say that the Board of County Commission cannot make policy proposals that are binding. We can't say what employee is assigned to do it. We can't say how exactly the work will be done. But if that rationale is true, then what is the point of any program offer? If are those nice suggestions, and we really hope that the chair and our departments do them, but in fact, they could do whatever they wanted with any fund of money? Like, there is a logical break between being an executive, and I am in no way saying it is our role to decide how you execute policy. But when you are saying that we have to put please and would you consider and I would like to ask you, that is saying we don't have the authority to make a policy for the county. Again, we don't have to be, maybe we can't say what department does it, but I don't understand how in the world we don't have the authority to set policy for the county. I think the word executive means to execute, to deliver, to decide how to implement. It does not limit our ability to direct on a policy level. And I feel like what you're saying strips us of our policymaking authority. If we, it's like, would you consider maybe possibly doing this? Is not having legislative authority.
So I hear you and I hear your frustration. I think also that I would remind you that this, right now you're sitting as the budget committee for Multnomah County, not as the Board of County Commissioners. You're adopting a budget document, and that is an allocation document, which is, you know, the program offers in the system that we have set up currently are putting forward to say, this is what we do of Multnomah County, will you fund this, right? And so it's asking you to make allocation decisions based on the work that's coming forward. That work is informed by the policies and the legislative actions of the Board of County Commissioners, which I know it's just a different hat, but when you're sitting at the dais over there, you're passing ordinances of the county, you're passing resolutions of the county, which will state broad things. Now, not speaking about individual matters here, but it would be, it is an ordinance of Multnomah County that we're going to have a lobbying, we're going to have a lobbying program, and it's going to include, we want it to include these factors. That's an ordinance of the county. That's an appropriate exercise of your legislative authority sitting in quorum by majority. It doesn't mean everybody agreed, but it means that at least three of you agreed, right? And then it would be up to the chair to execute as the CEO, that legislative act that's going to include policy as well.
Okay, but do we not vote on the budget both as this committee and then up there? So do I need to wait to bring my budget notes when we're acting as the full commission?
There could be action by the Board of County Commissioners, which is going to be by resolution, which would be encouraging, pushing, and directing the policy of the county. Those are separate acts. Many of the things that are in your budget notes, and indeed many of the things that are in the proposed amendments, may require additional action by the Board of County Commissioners to actually assure that those actions will be taken in the manner that is conceived and provided by the budget document as adopted by the budget committee.
I'll let Julie go, but I don't understand. This is, it's like trying to say a budget is not a policy process.
Yeah, I guess the thing I was gonna ask about is you said that this informs like what's happening to me, like this is the direction. And it also goes back to why when I think about the budget process that, you know, everybody, it has it like ending on the board of approval, that I see it as a year long process, because I don't see it as this is like a suggestion how we think things should be paid and then, or what should be funded at the county and what services is like, it is the direction and it's not, again, a suggestion. So that's a little bit confusing to me to hear that it just be like informing.
And you know, I'm answering questions as they're received right now. So I'm not intending to in any way diminish the importance of the budget process, the budget document, or the budget committee's work.
So then I guess my question would be, I don't see anything different between passing a resolution, or it's as long as we're in our lane in a legislating acting as in our legislative function, us passing something, whether it's a budget note, a resolution, or a change in code. Is there?
I'm not sure I understood your...
So I'm asking, like, so we're the legislating body, right? The commission, which includes the chair. And there's different ways that we could advance legislation or policy with a small p, and that could be a budget note, that could be a resolution, or it could be a code change.
Essentially.
Pardon?
I mean, essentially. I want to hear what your question is.
Yeah, my question is like, I think what Commissioner Moyer is asking is, what's the difference between, I mean, that a budget note would be similar to legislating in a different format through, you know, a resolution or through a code change?
It could be similar, yes. Your budget document is going to be adopted by resolution, right? So it is the policy of Multnomah County. But let's break it down a little bit, right? The board or the budget committee or any of the various hats that you wear, the goal of any policymaking or legislative activity is to create public policy which will be effectuated in actual action by, you know, the 6,000 employees of Multnomah County, right? Like that's the ultimate goal. So when I'm providing legal advice, I'm providing advice to the county and to county officials that helps you get to your goal of actually making these things happen. So the budget document is not, it's not one and done. There may be actions that we need to take afterwards to make sure that procurement, contracting, there might be additional legislative action that the board has to take, right? Because, you know, this the board that adopts or the committee that adopts this budget may be different than the Board of County Commissioners in 6 months, right? We've seen that several times. So we're not, this document does not forever change the legislative authority of another board sitting. This board may change their mind, right? Circumstances may change. We may need to reprioritize things, and that's what we would use subsequent actions to do, right? So we'll take each action as it goes. Any member of a governing body can set forward an amendment, and the amendment could be whatever it is in their desire to amend, right? And I'll use a silly example, but sometimes silly examples, I think, help us understand. I like horses and ponies, and so I'm going to put forward an amendment as a governing body that everybody gets a pony. Now, on this board member of five, if three other people agree with me, we can have a resolution or an ordinance that says everybody gets a pony and Jenny gets a pink one because I like pink ponies. That then can be adopted. It doesn't mean, though, that it would happen. That wouldn't be a good example of good policy because there's just not enough ponies and there aren't any pink ones anyway, right? So when I'm providing legal advice, I'm trying to help guide the best I can this board in all of your various capacities to create policy and legislation that's going to acknowledge all of our various authorities, and then make it possible that we can actually make it happen.
Can I ask, is there anything in the budget notes now that you see on the other side of this would be an issue? I guess I'm just not sure, Chair, I appreciate that the language is different, but, and I appreciate a good legislative authority debate. However, do we have an issue here? Or is this just a preference of language choice? Is there actually a legal issue with the budget notes the way they're written?
And so I went through the budget notes and I made recommendations that were either accepted or rejected. I have not gone through and seen which ones were rejected. In every case, though, I took language that said things like, the board encourages the chair, or the board supports the chair, or, you know, and I edited out language that directed either department officials or individual county employees. Sometimes it was like the COO. He got picked on a lot somehow. The COO was called out a lot because of his broad authority. And so I changed it to, not directing the sheriff, not directing other elected officials. You won't see, if any budget amendment attempted to direct one of the commissioner's offices, I would have also pulled out that language and said, the board supports, you know, District X in doing so-and-so. So I haven't had this morning, I haven't had a chance to go through line by line and see if all of those were accepted.
They were not.
And that's my assumption, and that's part of what it would be helpful. And I don't want to, I mean, you definitely read fast. You've been doing stuff really fast. But I would love to know how we can get to tomorrow. And if there's not an issue here, then I would like us to be able to move forward on the budget notes as written.
And I would, this is just a placeholder for a future discussion, but this is the exact same issue last year. It seems strange to me. It's like, we're not asking, actually, we're like a budget note, and legislators don't count them that way. There is like a suggestion, like, maybe if you want to do it, you do it. It's like actually a direction. So to Commissioner Singleton's point, getting through tomorrow, but I think it's a good larger conversation, because if we need to do it some other way, that'd be good to know. But I don't think any of us ran to be represent our constituents just to provide suggestions. And so I think it's a bigger conversation, and we should get through tomorrow.
Yeah, I will say, I think that what has happened is that we've been using budget notes to pass, to do policy like within budget notes instead of doing a resolution or and this is not just the sport. I think like this has just been something that's been happening. Like if the board wants to have a policy that, you know, that you know, we want to be able to have a policy of, you know, KPIs with, you know, with you know, four programs for the county, blah blah blah. And I'm just talking about this. Then there can be a policy that then the COO through my office as chief executive like figure out how to implement that for the board, right? To because that is the policy that the board passed. I think that is where the crux is where the intention of the policy that the board sets versus the actual implementation of that.
But we don't get to set policy. This makes absolutely no sense, because if the budget's not a policy document and everything's a suggestion and people can move money around and retrospectively come here and say, oh, we signed a contract, please retroactively approve it. The Board of County Commissioners effectively has zero power. And I push back on your suggestion that we can come post-budget and do a bunch of resolutions. All of these are directly related to the budget. I have never seen a government. And I have worked at the federal, state, local level. I have taught college, state, and local government. I have a master's degree in American government. I have never been somewhere that they argued that the budget process was not a policy process and that the legislative branch did not have policy authority within that process. It is not suggestion. It is not, we'd love it if you thought about maybe, and then elected and non-elected leaders can do whatever they want. This is a ludicrous argument.
And I'd like to make it clear, I'm not making that argument.
And neither am I. I mean, that is not...
You're saying we can't write these in a binding way.
What I'm saying is it is my legal advice that we understand and acknowledge the various authorities as stated in the charter, and that if we want to have county policy that can actually be effectuated in line with those authorities, that the language is not to direct other elected officials. That's the simplest, like, that I'm not...
But I'm directing the COO, or I'm directing, like,
I'm not directing the chair. My language doesn't reference the chair.
I hear and I see your frustration. My suggestions are solely based on the charter language adopted by the voters that says the chair has the sole authority to direct county employees. In your example, the COO is a county employee. So that's what I'm saying. Now, if a majority of the board were to decide that they wanted to direct the chair or to direct the COO, then that would be adopted by the Board of County Commissioners. And, you know, as uncomfortable it is to say in public, but you can do that. You can do that. And the chair, whoever is sitting in the chair seat, would then have authority to exercise their authority in the way that they deem best. And that doesn't sound like good governance to me, that we would be crossing lines like that. I haven't seen it done at Multnomah County, but it certainly could happen, and we would cross that bridge if we came to it.
So you're saying the chair could pull a Donald Trump and just like unilaterally decide, I direct staff that we no longer do veteran services. I'm gonna direct staff that we not spend whatever amount of money that I'm making this up. Maybe we pass the legal services. Then, no, I didn't put that in my budget. I don't want to do it.
Are these questions that you're actually asking me?
Yes, my legal I'm asking, does she have the authority as chair to disregard what we pass in a budget and direct staff to do whatever it is that she wants to do?
So I would just point you back to the county charter section 6. I know you did, but this is for the record. So I just want everybody to know that the chair shall have sole authority to appoint, order, direct, and discharge administrative officers of the county.
Under her executive authority. Am I correct? That is a derivative of her executive authority as the chair, am I? In that section.
As the chief executive officer.
Correct.
And the personnel officer of the county.
Right. In her executive authority, she does not have legislative authority to do that. It's like, again, separations of power. She decides.
This feels super personal when you keep pointing at me.
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm yeah. Any chair. You just happen to be the chair.
Yeah, I know.
But I'm sorry. Okay. Any chair has executive authority. That is to execute. It is not legislative authority.
So I would, I'm not sure how helpful I'm being here. I am trying to be helpful, and I truly am trying to answer your questions. I would just roll back to that this board is sitting, we're currently sitting as the budget committee. And in order for this board to pass or include either an amendment or a budget note in the budget document, it takes 3 votes. So that's going to be the policymaking and ultimately legislative import of these documents. So there is nothing that the chair can do as an individual member. Everybody has a vote. Everybody's vote counts. In this process, to put it frankly, we just have to, you've got to get to 3. So that's how this board can finalize what they feel as a majority of the board should be included in the budget document.
Can I ask a question? Is there a reason why the budget note couldn't just say the county without specifying an individual, like the county will?
It would be completely permissible to say, like, it is the policy of Multnomah County that whatever.
Okay, which would avoid the potential of it being viewed as a suggestion, and it would be avoid the directing the chair to do what you just
said. I think that could be very workable in many circumstances, and that's part of what the process of writing the budget notes, conferring, and having those discussions is.
So it's the policy of Multnomah County. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah. So that language you're saying replaces the. The board requests the chair to?
Well, I can't say for every example, but that could be, it's a policy of Multnomah County that, or it's the board's policy that, right? I mean, you can speak for the board because you will be acting as the budget committee, okay. And then
so we avoid the directing the chair, and we directing staff. And from another perspective, Boyd, it sounding like a suggestion.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's I provide edits to the language that's provided to me. I'm not trying to change the content of what you're doing. I'm just trying to help illuminate how we can best recognize everybody's authorities. And I think that there may be multiple ways to say the language. And if there's, you know, wordsmithing to be done, that's certainly
to me possible. That totally works. I mean, if it works for the charter, then from my perspective as an elected official, it is way better than being like, hey, we have the suggestion, please consider it. So thank you.
I also like it because honestly, then it becomes a conversation. I see, like, this is the policy of the board to do blah, blah, blah. Then it's on the executive side to implement that. If there are issues with implementing it as the board has written policy, then that starts a conversation between the board and the executive of like, okay, well, this is your policy. This is how we plan to implement it. Or this is these are some of the things that we have found as we're working to implement. And that starts a good conversation, I think, between the legislative and the executive branches. So I like that suggestion a lot. And I will also say that because this just goes back to something earlier in the conversation, any substantial change, and that's not the legal word, there is the legal word about to budget, to how spending happens, has to come back before the board. So to the question of like, can we, you know, cancel all eviction services, and no, we cannot, because that would be a material change to the budget that would have to come to the board before approval. And yes, and I want to, again, thank Chris Neal for his commitment to making sure that those budget modifications come to the board in a timely manner that's ahead of, you know, the actual implementation. But I want to just be crystal clear, like, the stuff that's in the budget is legally binding for, I think, the county to implement. So, okay.
Also, just that's for the budget notes. And like, if there's a longer term thing, then we could bring obviously the commissioners could bring a code change, which has a whole process.
That's correct. Okay. All right. Thank you, Jenny. Really appreciate that. Okay. Anything else on budget notes? I'm expecting that we're going to have lots of
anything else.
lots of edits to the budget notes
I don't know if this is appropriate time. Yeah. I have a further substitute, but this is in response to. Yesterday, we had a substitute amendment relating to MCAS. And basically, as a result, we have, there's now $83,492 of additional offsets. And so essentially, we're making an adjustment. It reduces the amount of the gap needed and therefore reduces the amount of the offset. From the health department grants that we need. So this is just moving some offset money. Because of yesterday's amendment, we did a swap out of positions. One of the positions was more expensive than the new position, raised more money than the position we had. And so now we're moving that. And if people want, looking like Christian wants to continue. You want to see what the amendment is? Or you're going to explain it.
Good morning. And just so you know, the amendment description package is coming back down with all the edits in it. Sorry for my late night lapses. I apologize. And I think that will also be helpful and they're on the website as well for those that are playing along at home. Commissioner, for that one, and we might have done this wrong, so I want to acknowledge that. What that position originally was split between amendment number 17 and then amendment number 31. No, is that right? Yes.
My staff is nodding.
And amendment number 31. And so we removed the position that was less, it costs less. And then we resplit it between those two amendments as it had been split before.
Are you going to explain or ask me a question?
I'm going to ask if we did that correct, because we did the math in here based on that assumption.
So my staff is nodding yes.
Okay, great.
So this has already been carried through.
Yeah, the spreadsheet is the more accurate thing that I did yesterday, which I think is the important
piece. So this is a trailing amendment just to cure the spreadsheet.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that.
I was afraid you were going to ask me a question. and I do want to just note that I'm going to be talking to Commissioner Jones Dixon about the one, hopefully to reconcile the revenue amendment. It's a small one, but on the body-worn cameras.
I think that was my question, though, about this, is that it's the trailing amendment. So what we talked about already on that, there's still a conflict, though, between like 31 and some of the other amendments that are out there, like 34, I think, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm trying to get just internal coherence so that we don't have conflicting amendments.
Okay.
With our own amendments.
Gotcha.
Recognizing that there's other.
All right. So it sounds like there's some work that needs to be done in terms of both internal amendment alignment, making sure that's all squared up. Thank you again, Christian and team, for all the work in making sure we've got a good layout here. But then also coming back and talking about the conflicts between amendments. So, and Christian, I just want to be, oh, what is that? This is the math. She has the math for us. So this has been updated on that. All right. You want to hand things out then? Okay, thank you. More trees.
Thank goodness for all these portable computers, just as down here doing it as you were speaking.
Thank you. This is exactly what I wanted to make sure we had squared away. Thank you.
I'll just walk you through the spreadsheet really quickly, because we did math from top to bottom. So the answer at the top in red is where the revenue amendment is overspent. So what you see, that's in green. What you see in blue is the total that was available in the amendment. And then below you see the different board amendments that are applying that same revenue source multiple times, so that you can just see the math. But the top line is kind of the line where we need to make some adjustments.
This is super helpful. Thank you.
Yeah, this is really clear.
I'm sorry that we didn't get to it last night. We knew we needed to get here, but here we are.
You've used up all of your apologies for the month.
I'm kind of impressed that we only have like four sources of revenue that are actually in conflict over all the, you know, so.
The total revenue amendments we have are?
Those are in the blue line.
They're just the total dollar amount is what?
That is on my other sheet of paper. Though.
I could calculate them up, but.
Should have wore tennis shoes today.
It is. Let's put, looks like, 1.1 of one time only and about 800 of ongoing.
Right, just so under $2 million.
Sorry, what was the question?
It was how much of the total revenue is there available? And it's on the sheets at the very top. One-time only is 1.1 million and approximately 800,000 of ongoing.
Okay. Okay, we are scheduled to go to 11. A suggestion I want to make is, why don't we adjourn a little early, do some of this lunch hour work that's been identified in terms of conflicts between amendments, between competing amendments, and then come back at 1 and start having a prioritization conversation. Or, you know, we can provide updates if there's been updates to share after lunch. We can start off with that, and then we can start having conversations around prioritization. How does that sound to folks? Okay.
I'm wondering, just like to clear to the decks on something. I'm wondering if we had the revised budget notes, whether we could try and clear those off the table today, or the majority of them, just as a fewer pieces of paper, as in just a process.
Yeah, I mean, I'm open to that.
Again, just narrowing the things on the table. I was just suggesting if we sort of finished our work on the budget notes, whether we could like clear the decks of those. Like, because that way, then we're down to fewer items.
Yeah, I think so. We can just chat about, it sounded like that was, okay. So yeah, I think we're good. That was the only one that I was... had some questions about.
Oh, Mark. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. We
have an official ADA transition plan. So just to be clear,
I thought that were required.
We do. We are required to have it. The last time it was approved by FHWA, the feds, and this board was March of 2023. So my bad for not having that at my fingertips. I just want to correct that.
Great. Can you state your name
on the record? Oh, and for the record, I'm Margie Bradley, director of DCS.
Okay. Oh, great. I actually had a question. I was literally just going to ask. Can you give what is normally or what is contained, like not all the details, but just what we could expect to find in that?
Sure. So there's, I've been. 4 required elements of the plan. You have to identify physical barriers with people with disabilities, describe the methods to remove those barriers, create a general schedule, and then identify the people responsible for carrying out the plan. The plan identifies 948 curb ramps and signalized crossings that do not currently comply with ADA. This is of March 2023. And then sets priorities based on ramp condition, truncated dome presence, and several other location factors.
What's that in the plan? What's the identified timeline?
So there's just a general timeline, and I can get back to you with more detail. But I think we assumed the current rate of funding. I'm in the plan itself right now. Sorry, commissioners. Let me get back to you. I believe so from year to year, the past 3 years, we've been doing about 50 ramps a year. I believe that's what the plan calls for, but I need to double check so I'm not wrong on the record.
And this just year we would do 14, is that right? More
yes.
expensive ones.
Yes, more expensive 14. Ones. We're getting to the more expensive ones. And then we have one project where we're hoping to pick up quite a bit of capital project.
And just to confirm, the ADA plan, the transition plan isn't just ramps. I mean, it should be for the whole thing.
It is broader, but it does
infrastructure.
It does, but the meat of it is ADA ramps, but it addresses the broader issues at all the intersections in particular.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much. It's super helpful, and I'm glad you were able to correct the record while we were still.
Will you send that to us before?
Yes. We'll send you all the link right now. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay. Anything else for the good of the order before we reconvene or plan to reconvene at 1? Okay. All right. Thank you. There being no further business, we are adjourned until 1.